AM. FM. In Your Face Radio.
Welcome back to the Captain Jack Show. As always, I'm your host, Captain Jack. This show is about Christmas. Now, I know I talked a little bit about Christmas a few weeks ago, and it's upon us. We're a week before Christmas, and, you know, part of the thing that I love about Christmas is the spirit that's in the air, and the decorations, and there's a certain kind of energy and feel that's in the air, and maybe it is the Christmas spirit, but you know, it only goes so far. One of the things I hate about Christmas is the efforts on everybody to rush the season, to bring it in faster and longer every year. I see Christmas decorations in the store before Thanksgiving now. It used to be, when I was a kid, that you wouldn't see Christmas decorations until at least after Thanksgiving, sometimes not until December 1st, but Thanksgiving was always the traditional sweeping in of the holiday season. And, you know, with Macy's parade and Santa going to Macy's store. But it seems earlier and earlier every year where they have Christmas decorations out and they have Christmas music in the stores trying to extend the buying season. And I get that. And perhaps people do spend more money when it's over a period of time. But we lead such rushed lives. We're never in the moment. We're never in today, we're always in tomorrow. And when we're in the stores, and it's September, it's right after Labor Day, it's before Thanksgiving, it's even sometimes before Halloween. Well, obviously, if it's in September, it's before Halloween. But if it's in the stores, and we get our minds thinking about Christmas as early as that, think about how fast that makes the year go by. Because you're already at Christmas when you're in September or October or maybe the beginning of November. And how does that change your focus on Thanksgiving when you're doing that? Well, that's one of my pet peeves. But what I really want to talk to you about today is the so-called war on Christmas. Now, the right wing, or I should say the religious right, has claimed for years that there is a war on Christmas. This is bullshit. Nobody is trying to take Christ out of Christmas, and nobody is trying to take Christmas out of the public spectra, if you will. Now, there are a lot of this coincides with the idea of whether something's a Christmas tree or a holiday tree, or whether it's people say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. And I'm here to tell you, people, you got to be a little bit less touchy about it. For the non-Christians who get wished Merry Christmas, who cares? Is there any point to you saying, I'm not Christian, I don't celebrate Christmas, I'm Jewish? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm somebody who used to do that. When somebody would wish me a Merry Christmas years ago, I would turn around and say, I'm Jewish, and they would say, I'm sorry. And I'm like, no, bother. And I began to wonder to myself, why am I saying I'm Jewish? Why am I spoiling this moment for somebody who's wishing me holiday cheer? Now, if I choose to wish somebody a happy holiday as opposed to a Merry Christmas, or somebody else's, why does the person who's receiving that get bent out of shape either? They're all well wishes, and yet nobody... I shouldn't say nobody, but a fair number of people seem to get upset as to the method that somebody is wishing them a happy holiday season. Now, people, it is time to really get real about this. This is not a war on Christianity. It is not a war on Christmas. It's simply some people prefer to say happy holidays, and some people prefer to say Merry Christmas. And if you're on the receiving end of either one of those, accept them as gracious wishes and not an attack on your specific religion. It's silly, people. It is absolutely the most nonsensical thing. And for people to be talking about this as if it's a real quote-unquote war on Christmas, this is a joke. This is an absolute joke, and it is something that really needs to be just get along, people. You know, just get along. This is the one of the silliest things that I've ever heard in my entire life. And for the last several years, when somebody has, once I, you know, got into this realization, I have, whenever somebody has wished me Merry Christmas, I've simply said thank you, Happy Holidays, or Merry Christmas back to you. I'm not offended as a Jew that somebody wishes me a Merry Christmas. Now, for me personally, Christmas is not a religious holiday. It is very secular. The gift-giving, the decorations, and I enjoy all that stuff. I actually, for years, have collected the fabric Santa Clauses. I stopped a few years ago. We were running out of space in the house to put them. But I also found the ultimate Santa Claus when I was shopping. One day, I found a Rabbi Santa Claus. And that was the last one that we bought. And it's a Santa Claus in a rabbi's outfit with the tzalis. For those of you who are Jewish, you know what that is. For those of you who are not, it is a shawl that rabbis wear when they're doing prayers. And it's a really neat piece. And we decorate my house for Christmas. And I make no bones about the fact that my wife is Christian. And we put up a Christmas tree. And we have gifts. And we have a menorah out for Hanukkah. But it's a celebration of the season. My sister, who is married to a Jewish man, they put up a Christmas tree for their kids. Now, for people who want to call it a holiday tree, let them call it a holiday tree. For people who want to call it a Christmas tree, let them call it a Christmas tree. The only objection I have, and I'm not even sure I'm right about this, I have a problem where there is a quote-unquote Christmas tree on public grounds and public money is used for it. Under those circumstances, unless they're going to give equal time to other major religions, including Judaism and Islam and whatever other major religions we have in this country, then I believe it's a violation of the First Amendment. I am not one of these people who sit there and say that religion should never be part of, religious celebration should never be part of public life, but you can't choose one religion over another. That is a violation of the First Amendment. If you're going to do that, then you shouldn't do anything at all. So I don't have a problem if you have a quote-unquote Christmas tree as long as you also have a menorah or something similar. Now, it's not a big deal to me. I know last year, you know, as many of you know, that I work in the Philadelphia area. And for years, there has been on City Hall grounds in Philadelphia something called the Christmas Village. And it's a German Christmas Village. I forget what they call it, but it's little shacks that where they sell knickknacks and food and various and decorations and small gifts and whatnot. And it's really kind of cool to look at the shops. And I never had a problem with it. But last year, somebody had a big problem with it, and the mayor ordered that the sign Christmas Village come down. It wasn't a problem that the village was there. The problem was that the sign was there, and they called it Christmas Village. So the mayor ordered that the Christmas Village sign come down, and then he reversed his decision. I'm glad he reversed his decision. Now, the whole issue that people had with this apparently was that it was on City Hall grounds. Now, the village this year has been moved to across the street to the in the Love Park area, which I'm not sure if that's municipal grounds or not, but it didn't have anything to do with the fact that there was an outcry last year. It had to do with the fact that they're actually doing construction on City Hall and a long overdue renovation job. Now, Christmas is a time for really sappy movies and some really good movies. Now, the sappiest place I have found on Earth has got to be the Hallmark Channel. Now, our cable system, as part of our basic cable system, has the Hallmark Channel. And around this time, they play 24/7 Christmas movies. But they're not the traditional Christmas movies that we all are used to seeing. It's not A Christmas Carol. It's not Elf, even. It's not A Christmas Story. Not White Christmas. It's not any of those. These are all original Hallmark movies, which are basically as sappy as a Hallmark card. And I have to say, with all due candor, I've been watching them. And when have I been watching them? As you know, most of you know, my faithful listeners, I've been on a weight loss program. So every morning when I walk on my treadmill, I turn my TV on in the basement near where the treadmill is, and I turn on Christmas movies. I watch the Hallmark station. And every movie is basically the same. Love Will Conquer All. They're about angels. They're about Santas. And they are watching a live version of a Christmas of a Christmas card from Hallmark. And, you know, they're entertaining, but they're sappy as hell. And, of course, at 4 o'clock in the morning when I'm doing most of my walking, you know, it's kind of emotional, but, you know, it's kind of cool. But talking about Christmas movies, I don't really understand how the networks are handling Christmas movies anymore. Now, I love Christmas movies, and I'm not talking about the Hallmark Christmas movies. As I said, they're sappy. But my very favorite Christmas movie of all time very well may be A Christmas Carol, the one from 1939, I think it was, with Alistair Sim. Or Alistair Cook. I don't remember the actor's name, but I think it's Alistair Sim who's playing Ebenezer Scrooge. And I love that version. That, to me, even though it was an earlier version, this is the classic version, and none of the other versions that have come since then are close. This is black and white. It's gritty. It's meaty. There's never been a better Ebenezer Scrooge than this guy. And I haven't seen it in years. They used to show it several times. In fact, they used to show several different versions of this movie on PBS or some of the other older or some of the other TV shows that showed older movies. But they haven't shown it at all this year. They didn't show it at all last year. It's been several years since I've seen it. Now, it's conceivably possible that there are so many TV channels I'm just missing it, but I don't even see it when I'm flicking channels. It just doesn't come up. And speaking of that, a lot of the older Christmas movies have disappeared. I haven't seen Holiday Inn. I haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life. I haven't seen White Christmas on regular TV, either on cable or the networks. I have not seen them for years. And these are time-honored classics. Now, what have they shown on TV, and they show consistently on various channels? You will see The Santa Claus, which is it's a fine movie. It's a good movie. And ultimately, you know, it reinforces the kids' belief in Santa Claus. And that's fine. I enjoy that. Elf has been on probably 642 times already this holiday season. It is shown in a loop. I forget which channel it's on, but it is shown constantly. And it's a good movie. I mean, and for a modern Christmas movie, it's very enjoyable. Now, of course, TBS, and I look forward to this every year, but TBS will be showing A Christmas Story, as it's a tradition, 12 straight times for 24 hours between Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And A Christmas Story is a great Christmas movie. But what has happened to the original Miracle on 34th Street? Hell, what's happened to even the remake? I haven't even seen that on TV. Now, thank God I have all of these movies on DVD or VHS, and we get to sit down and we watch them. Now, I have none of the kids in the house this year until this coming weekend. My kids are coming home from school, but which means that we've been watching the movies less, but I can watch those movies anytime I want to. And my wife and I last night turned on White Christmas. I made it about a third of the way through before I fell asleep. Because, well, that's just the way my life is these days. But I think it's about time that we took a break. And on the flip side, we'll be talking about some of the current events of the day and what's going on in birther land.
We wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to everybody from the Scream Cafe with Grobeck and all of us here at In Your Face Radio. All of us, Monkeyhead, Miss Kitty, me, JD, Mike, the whole crew, everybody. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
This is JD and
Greg Zolo at Bullseye
on In Your Face Radio, wishing all of you a very Merry Christmas
and a Happy New Year.
Yeah, and bring the troops home. What do you say, Greg?
I want to say let's win the war on Christmas and bring the troops home.
There you go. Happy New Year, everybody. Merry Christmas.
This is Captain Jack wishing everyone out there a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever you choose to celebrate, even if it's Festivus for the rest of us. Have a great holiday season and the best to you and yours.
Hi, this is Mike from Power to the People. Visit anysoldier.com. This is my holiday Merry Christmas message to my wife, my family, all of the soldiers, my friends, and people all around the world.
And we're back. Now, in birther land, the birtherstani have gone even more insane than usual. Now, before I even get to this, I want to wish a welcome home, a hearty welcome home to all of our troops coming back from Iraq and wherever else they're coming in from. And it's great to have you home. And, you know, it couldn't come at a better time. I'm glad you're going to get to spend the rest of the holiday season with your families. And a hearty thanks from me and from all other people in the country. I don't usually like to speak for everybody else, but I think most people are happy that you are home. And I echo the president's wishes that a grateful nation thanks you and welcomes you home for the holidays. Job well done. Now, going back to the birtherstani, you know, last week we talked about how the birther movement is going to get violent pretty soon, and I see more and more desperation in the birther movement as each and every successive court challenge has been denied, and rightfully so. Not rightfully so that they're getting more desperate, but rightfully so that every court case has been dismissed. And what you see now is that the efforts are not being concentrated so much on the litigation aspect, but they are being concentrated more on these ballot challenges, and they get more and more hysterical. You have some lunatic fringe candidates who are trying to get on the Democratic ballot in order to challenge Obama's eligibility. Now, it just so happens a couple of months ago, as I was analyzing this in my head, I realized that the only people who would have standing to challenge Obama's eligibility would be people who would be on the Democratic ticket, or excuse me, seeking the Democratic nomination, or the reverse is it would ultimately be the Republican nominee. That person would have standing, and these are the only people who would have standing to challenge the eligibility. But of course, this doesn't stop the birther movement, but they have been trying to put these lunatic fringe candidates on the Democratic ballots. I think even Randall Terry has registered as a Democrat and is running for the United States presidency. Now, or I should say for the Democratic nomination. Now, if for those of you who don't know who Randall Terry is, he is one of the wackiest quote-unquote ministers in our country who actually has advocated the idea that violence should be used against abortion clinics in order to stop abortions, and he advocates that this is reasonable to kill abortion doctors. He is the head of Operation Rescue, And the last time he was significantly in the news, and he was actually in a fringe issue a little bit later, but the next time he was significantly in the news, is he was one of the people who was leading the charge that Terri Schiavo, if you remember her, that she could be saved and that she was not, in fact, brain dead when everybody under the sun, other than a few whack jobs, realized that she was, in fact, brain dead. And her autopsy concluded that there was nothing left to her brain, and Terri Schiavo caused a lot of pain to a lot of people, but he's in that business. Now, he was in a different issue some months ago when Terry Jones, who's another lunatic reverend, was out there putting the Quran on trial. Now, I don't know how you can put a book on trial. A book is a book. A book you can't answer. You can't defend a book. A book it can't defend itself. But he put the book on trial and held actual trial and convicted the book. And I think he was advocating setting it on fire. I don't know if he actually burned it. I think he did. But he was asked personally by the president, or I don't know if the president actually called him, but the White House called him and asked him personally not to burn the Quran. But, of course, he did it. Yeah, now that I think about it, he did it. It actually caused a violent reaction. And he distanced himself, of course, from the conduct that led to the violent actions. Now, I'm not advocating the idea that the Muslims were correct in having a violent reaction to a burning of the Quran, and I believe they killed a few people, and that's absolutely abhorrent and it's absolutely wrong. But when you do something that you know is going to cause this reaction, the fact that the reaction is overboard and unacceptable does not make the conduct acceptable. The person who engages in the conduct is still responsible ultimately for the reaction. Now, but that's, you know, this is the kind of person who is challenging Obama on the ballots, and of course there's no realistic possibility that they're going to get any votes or any realistic possibility that they're going to be able to get Obama off the ballots. Now, there are time frames that are put in for people getting on the ballot, for making ballot challenges. There are procedures to be followed. Now, once again, what we have found is that because it's Orley Tates who is leading the charge on these things, that everything gets fucked up. Now, she did recently file an action in Georgia. Now, I'm not sure. It is a lawsuit to challenge his Obama's eligibility and have him removed. And Obama got a big-time real lawyer to respond to this, and he filed a very comprehensive, very coherent, as to be expected, motion to dismiss her action. And Orley is clearly in way over her head, and she even, I think, acknowledged the fact that she was over her head in not so many words. But one of her reactions to the motion to dismiss was to call the other attorney. I'm not sure why she called the other attorney. If it's her typical bluster, it would be to call him a traitor, treasonous, berate him for representing Obama, and accuse him of crimes and being complicit in the cover-up. But who knows what she did. But she also indicated that she was going to go on a hunger strike. Now, why she would go on a hunger strike, I do not know. But it turns out that the person she was associating herself with, who was saying she was joining him in the hunger strike, really was only doing a fast for, like, Ramadan. I think the guy was Muslim, which is bizarre. And he was doing a 24-hour fast for Ramadan. And I think when she figured out her mistake, she's kind of backed off of this. But it's a typical Orley overreaction, stupid response to something because she has no idea what she's doing. Now, the only advantage, and I say the only advantage, because I have berated Orley Tates now for months, probably a year. She is the worst lawyer I have ever seen in my entire life, and she may be the worst lawyer in the history of this country. However, she had one advantage in that she was acting, for the most part, on the fringes, and with the exception of people who have been following this, really kind of in anonymity. She was losing case after case, and she was getting rebuffed time after time, But this was pretty much on a small scale in the sense that these were not well publicized. You would get a story here and there in the mainstream media about it, but you didn't have the concentrated focus attention on her. But because she named Obama as a defendant in the action in Georgia, and it didn't involve federal action or government action, he hired a private counsel to do this, and it's a big-time player named Bauer, and Orly is now center stage. Now, it may not be necessarily getting the media attention, but she is now center stage, and she has no idea what to do, because she is going to get destroyed in the courts in a way that she has never gotten destroyed before. Now, there are other things going on in Burferland. We can talk about the fact that, you know, we have Barney Fife, the sheriff down in Arizona, who's supposedly doing this cold case posse investigation. And, of course, this week, the federal government, the Department of Justice, came down indicating that Arizona, and this sheriff in particular, has been violating people's civil rights for years. And there's also a story that popped its head up. It may have originally came up in 2008, but Sheriff Joe has botched some 400 child sex crime cases. And he actually came out and he apologized for that this week. So obviously there was some merit to this, because Sheriff Joe doesn't apologize a whole lot for a whole lot of things. Now, of course, when the investigation or the conclusion of the investigation came down this past week from the Department of Justice, you had the Burferstani up in arms, because this was a retaliatory thing in order to get Sheriff Joe from off the cold case investigation that he was doing about Obama's eligibility. Well, of course, that was nonsense, because as it turns out, the investigation began under Bush. It was just completed under the Obama administration, and it was Bush who was targeting this. But of course, this was something that recently popped up in order to stop his investigation, because this is exactly how birthers think. Anything that bad that happens to any of the people who are involved in the investigation, alleged investigation, it's part of a conspiracy. It's part of an overall attack against this. There can't be any other reason. Now, it's conceivably possible that Sheriff Joe, knowing what was coming down the pike, knowing that he was being investigated for the past 3 years, in fact, started the quote-unquote investigation to do exactly this, to make it look like the investigation was the government's investigation of him was retaliatory. But it's not going to work, Sheriff Joe. We know the truth. We know that you're a fraud. We know the fact that your investigation is going nowhere, and you're going to come up with some sort of report in February, which is what you promised, which is just going to rehash the same stuff that we've known all along, and it's going to be the same birther nonsense. Now, interestingly, this within the last 2 weeks, I've heard from Dean Haskins. Now, Dean is the quote-unquote executive director of the Birther Summit, which is going to take place in March. And I've talked a little bit about this in the past. Now, this is a summit that is supposed to be bringing all the great birther minds to one location and having a conference with regard to it. And those minds include Orly Tates and Carl Swenson, who did a pitchfork rally that attracted 12 people. And it's James David Manning, the reverend from Harlem, who is just a psycho. And it has all these people, and it may have 30 attendees, and 25 of them are speakers. So it's a great success there, Dean. But Dean has given the latest update, because he was on a 5-week fact-finding mission, and he claims that he found a lawyer, because he found enough information, who's going to file the actual litigation that is going to unseat Obama from the presidency. Now, I don't know about you, but I've heard this before, because this is part of the any day now mentality of the birthers. But he has said to me personally in some private messages that actually, let me set this up. On his Birther website, his Birther Summit website, and a couple of other places that report on his bullshit, he was saying how something, this whole litigation is going to turn on the meaning of one word. And I happened to post somewhere that I was willing to bet that the one word was the law, because I had seen other birthers saying that when the election committees and ballot committees in the various states are required to make sure that the candidates, their applications complied with the law, that the law could be argued to be the United States Constitution as opposed to the state election laws, which obviously it's the state election laws, they're not referring to the United States Constitution, but because the United States Constitution is the ultimate law of the land, that they're required to make sure that the applications or that the candidates meet constitutional requirements, which is simply, it's absurd. But Haskins turns to me, sent me a private message saying I was wrong. It was a different word. He wouldn't tell me what it was. And he absolutely called his litigation or his potential litigation a slam dunk. Now, and he was all proud of the fact that the lawyer that they retained is not a birther. He said he's not a birther. And, well, I think anybody who actually takes this litigation on would have to be a birther. So then after this lawyer did all of this research, he agreed with them. Originally he didn't. He changed his mind after doing the research, and that the case, that it's a strong case, and he actually called it a slam dunk. Now, I've been a lawyer for way too long to consider any case a slam dunk, except any case that's on the opposite side of anything that Orly Pates does, because she doesn't get anything right. But, you know, so I reserved my right, and I said to him, look, I'll reserve my comments about the litigation that you're going to do until after I read it, because, I keep an open mind, and it doesn't mean that there isn't some sort of theory somewhere out there that could possibly at least bring the issue correctly to the court, which is one of the things that the birther movement's never been able to do. They've never been able to figure out how to get the actual issue in front of a court because they have no idea what they're doing. Now, it's conceivably possible that such a litigation could be brought, and as I said, I think if under the right circumstances, I think if somebody was going to challenge, have a serious challenge to Obama for the Democratic nomination, that they would have standing to challenge somebody's eligibility. And that would bring it to the forefront. And I also think that the Republican nominee could do that. But I don't think either one of them ever would, because I think it's a death knell to somebody's chances to be elected, because it's insane. But the interesting thing is that not only is Haskin absolutely sure that this is going to bring the issue to the forefront, but he's absolutely sure that it's going to win and it's going to prove that Obama's not eligible. The problem with that belief is that Obama is eligible, and therefore, whatever litigation that he has ultimately is going to fail. I'm going to reserve my rights completely to see how insane the theory actually is, but I believe that it probably is going to fail, because if it seeks to set out to prove something that is impossible to prove, then, there's a problem with that litigation. Now, but it's just part and parcel for, what passes for birther logic, because there's absolutely no rational rhyme or reason to anything that any of them ever say. Between the people who believe that Obama is the love child of Malcolm X, to the people who believe that Obama, who obtained his Social Security number in 1977, somehow got a Social Security number, a fake Social Security number, through the help with the help of William Ayers, who he didn't meet until he was in his 30s. I now saw a page yesterday somewhere a a website where people are questioning pictures and claiming that they're Photoshopped of Obama from his high school basketball team. And the comments are just so absurd, because in one picture he's taller, in one picture he's shorter, in one picture his mouth is open. You talk about people who are insane. This is insane. And yet, I go back to one of those major issues of insanity. They think the whole country is behind them. And they're wrong. You know, even if you just look at the fact that 40%, whatever Obama's approval rating is, let's say it's 40%, let's say it's 45%, I don't know what it is, it's kind of low. But you're not going to tell me that those 45% of the people don't think Obama's ineligible to be president. Now, you don't have one Republican nominee who speaks out about this. Not one. And why? Because, as I've said before, it's a death knell to the campaign. They don't want to be painted as a lunatic. And speaking of lunacy, and this is going to be my last comment of the day, WND did the dumbest, funniest thing of all time with regard to the birther movement. Because, you know, for those of you who have been following, you know WND is like Birther Central, but it's also like Conspiracy Theory Central. So it's not just limited to the birther movement, but they have been flying at various places a banner. They've been hiring an airplane and putting a banner on that says, "Where's the real birth certificate?" to highlight this issue. So they decided to do this over the top of the Dallas Cowboys Stadium as part of last Sunday night football game between the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. There were only two problems with this issue, or this event. The game started at 8:30, and they did this at perhaps 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and they did it above a domed stadium where the dome was closed. Nobody saw this. And they posted this on WND. They did an article about it with all kinds of fanfare about the fact that how they did this great thing, and it was ludicrous. And Cooper Anderson from CNN actually did a little bit of an article on it to ridicule it, because how stupid can you be? How stupid do you have to be to fly an airplane with a banner 5 hours, 6 hours before a game is 7 hours, whatever it is, before the game starts? And even if it had been during the game, the dome was closed. It was a night game. They did it during the day. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is everything you may ever need to know about the birther mentality. Now, I'll probably be doing a show next Saturday, Christmas Eve, but I'm not 100% sure. It depends on what my schedule is and various other things. I'm going to wish you a very happy holidays, a very Merry Christmas, and I will be talking to you before the new year. I will probably be doing, as I said, a show last week, and I'll probably be doing a show the week after that. Now, for those of you who are interested, I have now lost 56 pounds, and I feel great, with the exception of the fact that my bursitis in my hip is acting up, and it's going to be a healthier, hopefully happier new year for me and my family with regard to me and everything else. But I'm going to bid you adieu now. Again, for those of you who want to email me, you can email me at CaptainJack97@hotmail.com or CaptainJack@InYourFaceRadio.net. Thank you, and I'll be talking to you soon.